Welcome to the Bycast, a podcast about, by, and for our community, bringing you information, support, and entertainment for all of us. We continue bringing you stories about and for our communities during Pride Month. On June 3rd, Center By hosted two veteran bisexual activists, Lorraine Hutchins and A. Billy Jones Heinen, to speak at the D.C. Center. The focus of this talk was some history of the local Washington, D.C. and metropolitan area bisexual movement. The first speaker you will hear will be Knox Amon, organizer of Center By. Thank you.
My name is Knox Amon. Some of you know me. I'm the current leader of the group, the Center By Gender Meetup Group. Welcome, everyone. I really appreciate you showing up. This is a big week, obviously, for the LGBT community and obviously for the bi community as well. We're trying to rebuild the bisexual community to DC Center, and we've got two people here. You've been part of the bisexual community, I don't know how many years, and maybe you don't want to announce how many years, so just won't go there. It's Lorraine Hutchins and A. Billy Jones Heinen. And without further ado, here's what we're going to do. They're going to talk to us for a little while. And then we're going to turn this over to have a roundtable discussion, question and answer. And at that point, you know what? Talk about whatever you want to talk about. Ask whatever questions you want to ask. There's no silly questions, nothing to be embarrassed about. We're all friends here. We all know what it's like to go through this. So this is a good chance to talk and learn from each other.
I want to honor everybody for being here and say you're really brave. We're really brave. That I get scared even after being out forever, and just give ourselves some hugs and some support and say thank you for having the guts and the courage. Also want to say I'm having weird stuff with my mouth, and if my mouth acts weird, it's because my teeth are moving around, and I'm just an old lady who will admit that, okay? I even said it on radio, didn't I? Okay. I'm 66, and I'm proud to say that. I just qualified for Medicare last year. And I was born in D.C. I'm a fourth-generation Washingtonian. And I remember back in the old days when there weren't any bi support groups or gay bookstores or out gay people or bi people who could be my mentors at all, anywhere. And I remember how lonely and scary that was. And when I was here in the 70s, the only place I could find any validation at all was to hang out on the edges of what were called gay married men support groups that met at some of the churches. And I think A. Billy will talk about gay married men probably in a moment. But it wasn't that welcoming a place for women. It was just the only place where I could go and be around bi people and have my bi-ness validated. So I went. And then at some point in the 80s, there started to be some bi support groups in DC that were local and that were mixed gender. And I was reviewing the timeline on the Rainbow History Archive website. And although it's outdated and could be corrected in various ways, and we can do that as volunteers with Rainbow History, it's a really good starting place to look, rainbowhistory.org, I think it is, because it traces different efforts at bi-organizing locally throughout the years, throughout the last 30, 40 years in D.C., and also how the local related always and still relates to the national, and how the local a lot of times gets eclipsed by national stuff, this being D.C., and how hard it is to keep D.C. efforts that are really locally based going. And that's really important to me to say. I pulled back from local organizing at some point in the 90s after the book came out, and I got more into national organizing, being one of those horrible betrayers that I'm talking about who went into national organizing and helped found Bi-Net USA, and I worked in a lot of other movements that are social justice, change related, where I wasn't out by speaking about sexuality issues. So there's a lot I could say about kind of the different phases I saw happening. I'll just like maybe speak a little bit briefly right now. And he and I talked about going back and forth with, you know, my story, your story, and where our stories converged and diverged. And I'm sure we might do that a little bit. but just to like kind of wrap it up for right now and what I'm saying, there were various metamorphoses of DC bi support networks that I remember in the 80s and the 90s. A lot focused on social support and sometimes on coming out more psychological stuff, but very rarely focused on political organizing and education to a larger audience publicly. And I was most interested in the political organizing. And I was part of a group that started in the early 90s called AMBI, the Alliance of Multicultural Bisexuals. And we particularly were looking at how to unite all different races and ages and cultures of bisexuals in this city. But really, we had a direct action support arm called AMBUSH, which stood for the Alliance for Multicultural Bisexuals United to Stop Everything We Don't Like Beginning with H, which is heterosexism, homophobia, homelessness, HIV, and you name it. And we did direct action, and we did kiss-ins at bars, and we started Celebrate Bisexuality. Hey! Welcome. We started Celebrate Bisexuality Days. And then there was, you know, various spin-offs of groups, like the DC Bi Women's Group became its own, or that was started in as a new group in the, what year was that? Do you know?
11 years ago.
And that's still going, and there's been spin-offs from that, or groups associated with that, like, what is the DC Bi and Lesbian?
Actually, BLMW. That's before DC Bi.
Okay, and BLMW stands for?
Bi and Lesbian Married Women.
And then there's Bi-Fems.
Bi-Fems.
And A. Billy and I have been saying, hey, let's revive AMBI. And we did that when we did Celebrate Bisexuality Day last year for the first time with the mayor's and the city's official support. I think I'm going to stop talking for a while. I mean, I could babble on, you know, for a long time about different bi organizing things in D.C., but you've already heard my values, which is that I want to do the political part more. And also hear people's stories. I mean, the stories is what gives me hope.
I also get a little nervous speaking, but for some reason I'm not nervous tonight. I think it's the medication I'm on. So I'll try not to take a nap. If I do, just John will have his permission to wake me up and she will throw water on me. Any of you going to Minneapolis for the Because conference, the bisexual conference there that's annual? If you're not, put it on your agenda for next year.
What is that?
This weekend.
Okay, that's what I thought you were going to
be. Anyway, I'm speaking. I'm Saturday luncheon speaker there, and that's the one that I'm nervous about. Because it's like all the big boy going to be there. I don't really consider myself that big of a bisexual organizer, per se, and I definitely didn't move around in groups that define themselves as bisexual group. And that's, but I was certainly living a life as a bisexual. I was married, have kids, and at the same time in a relationship with my current partner. We've been in a same gender loving relationship for 36 years, and we're planning to get married one day this month, and then go on a 2.5 month honeymoon to undisclosed location that she's trying to get out of me, but my partner has sworn me not to reveal it, and if I do, the honeymoon is canceled. And we're not to take any electronic devices at all, so it's going to be a true honeymoon, and we're debating whether we should take clothes. real honeymoon. But, you know, my story is that I was focusing on organizing the African American LGBT community to get them politically involved. The community itself was organized in terms of being very, very social, and I felt there was a need to get the community involved politically. So I became first the founder of the DC Coalition of Black Lesbians and Gays, and then moved from that to the National Coalition of Black Lesbians and Gays, in which we organized the Third World LGBT Conference in conjunction with the National March on Washington, with the responsibility of getting people of color to participate. And then we did a White House conference because the National Gay Task Force, and that's what it was called at that time, forgot to invite us, and that's being polite. But they didn't see us as significant. And so we did our own White House conference and didn't invite them. Instead, we invited representatives from people of color organizations from across the country. And one of the organizations that I was ended up being the co-founder by default was GAMMA. And I should say, I first became involved with gay parents here, because I've been involved with gay parents in San Francisco. And there are three cities that I was politically and socially active, and that was Minneapolis, San Francisco and the Bay Area, and then Metro DC. And I said Metro DC because I lived in Columbia, Maryland, which is, and my kids went to school there, and the headquarters for the National Coalition of Black Lesbians and Gays was in Columbia, Maryland. And people may not know that Howard County was the first county in the state of Maryland that included sexual orientation in their, what do you call it, bylaws or whatever you,
legislation,
whatever cities do.
discrimination policies.
Okay, I have seen the moments, and part of it is language. I hope what's important, but what's not important. But Howard County was the most progressive at that particular time. And I guess they still consider themselves pretty progressive. But one of the organizations that I was very active with was GAMMA, Gay Married Men Association. And that organization started because there was a fire at the Follies. And the Follies was a place that men went and met other men, and did other things too, but they met other men. And it was also a theater that was not safe, and the evidence came about when there was a fire, and several married men were killed in the fire. And there was a rabbi, a gay rabbi, from Howard County, but closeted. I shouldn't say that. He was a bisexual rabbi, married with kids. And he had actually identified himself as such. Mm. But he wasn't into coming out, but he was definitely into recognizing that there had to be a better way for men to meet men. And out of that came the organization GAMMA. So he called for the first meeting, and then because he didn't want to be visible, and I was running at that time a counseling service called Growth and Support for Alternative Lifestyle. That was a counseling agency that worked with families or members of families who were in non-traditional relationships. Sometimes it was, one was identifying as gay or bi, and the other one was straight. And sometimes it was kids who were struggling with their parents around the gay issue. Sometimes it was just folks in open relationship, in non-traditional relationship. So it was educational for me. But our goal, there were three of us working with that agency, our goal was to be supportive of people wherever they were and not try to direct them one way or the other, but to get comfortable with who they were. And at that time, we talked about being selective about who you were going to be revealing your lifestyle to. As well as your sexual orientation, gender identity. Sometimes it was transgender folks. I was a transgender person in what appeared to be traditional relationships. But out of that came a clear consciousness and awareness on my part that relationships are not always what they appear to be. And certainly in my case, even though everyone knew, I was never secret about the fact that I was married and that I had kids, and I was active in the LGBT community. If I defined myself as bisexual, I would just get all sorts of hostility from the lesbian gay community. And from the black lesbian gay community as well as the white lesbian gay community. It was across the board. And then, you know, and I would get stuff like, there was an article actually that I go, well, you want your cake and eat it too? And my response was, yeah, I do. Why not? But it was, I'm sure all, many of you have gotten those kind, you know, he's in denial, or he's in transition, it's a phase, all of, you know, I've heard it all. And I still get that kind of hostility. The nice part about Gamma was that it did bring men together. Some defined themselves as gay, and some defined themselves as bisexual, and some weren't sure. Some were struggling to stay in their marriage and work things out, and some were figuring out how to leave the marriage, and particularly if they had kids and how to work that out. And there was a group called Gamma Wives that actually my former wife was one of the founders of that particular organization. And because there was a need to support the women that were in these non-traditional relationships, because in some cases, the men had informed their wives before they got married. And interestingly, often the woman's response was that she would change it. You know, that didn't happen. They may chill out for a while, but no. And in some cases, the woman just accepted the person as they were, and they were fine. So there were all sorts of situations, but it did become a comfort space for gay and bisexual men to come together and be comfortable. But for me, being on the national scene and to somewhat international, and defining myself as bisexual in the 70s and even into the 80s was and has been a challenge, but I continue. It's interesting looking at the article in by any other name. My daughter and I were interviewed, and even she had issues with my sexual orientation. I mean, she kind of took it like, okay, he's going to get over this and come back home. The other part, I mean, for me, I guess I was comfortable where I was in the sense that it turned out my father was bisexual. And he never directly told me, and I came out to him as a teenager when I was in the Marine Corps. I did all the butch things, like, you know, I played football, I was on the wrestling team. It was all the contact sport. I cannot to this day catch a ball, I cannot play baseball, but if it was contact, homie was, I could go for that. And then the coaches would yell at me, Jones, let go! Jones, let go! Rock a little bit. So I did, I got distracted. Oh, but my father was bisexual, and I didn't get it, because my coming out to him was as a teenager and telling him, I can't remember, it was before, I think I was in the Marine Corps, but I was like, how did I get through this? And the church was doing all this hell and damnation, so I was feeling really bad that I would been intimate with men. And I was always into older men at the time, although the person that ended up being my partner was 8 years younger than me. So then I was rocking the cradle. Now we're both old, so nobody's rocking any cradle. But coming out I first came out to my dad, and then when my dad passed, I was coming out to my mom, and my mom, she just looked at me and she said, "Oh, you're like your dad." And I was like, "Shocked." She said, "You're like your dad and Uncle George." And in the black community, you didn't call, in my area, you didn't call adults by first name. And if they were close, they were uncle, auntie, cousin. And definitely if it was doctor or reverend, you definitely called them, you know, use their titles, and or Mr. or Ms. or something. So Uncle George and my dad were very close friends, and I knew he wasn't my biological uncle. And my mom just told me, she says, "Oh yeah, you know, Uncle George," and she, I don't think she used the word lover, but you know, she, and that's the other thing. I'm a child of the 40s and 50s, so the language was not, that we use today just was not there. The clinical term homosexual was there. My dad was a doctor, and I do remember him having Kinsley books in his library. So he was keeping up. But my mom was, she was like, just stated that that's the way it was. And, you know, and I remember asking her, like, "You were okay with that?" And she said, "Honey, with 10 kids, I was glad for all the help I could get. And as long as your dad was, I was grateful for Uncle George." And that was it. She was, you know, didn't seem to mind at all. So I was lucky. I had a role model. My family was very open talking about sexuality. I had an uncle who, oh my, Uncle Ernest was one who would get sloppy drunk on the weekend and cross-dress, which would have been fine if he had stayed home, but no. People had to see his outfit, and they were tacky outfits, trust me, wig and all. But he would, you know, bounce to the neighborhood. So I guess I had a transgender person in my family too. I mean, you know, cross-dresser was the most positive word. But one of the things the message that I hope to convey in Minneapolis, one is that coming out is an ongoing process. And I think just being who we are and in the midst of others is a coming out process. And then it gets stronger if you define yourself. And we should not allow others put down to discourage us. And the other thing, recognizing that sexual orientation, sexual attraction is fluid. And so how you define yourself today, 10 years from now, you may be defining yourself differently, and that's okay. And the other message is, we really can't just make assumptions by relationships that people are in. I mean, both my partner and I define ourselves as bisexual, in large part because we met at Gamma and we have a history of relating to women, but also we have an open relationship, a committed and a loving relationship for 36 years, and hope to be there. We're aiming for 50, and you can all come to the celebration if we make it to 50. But anyway, those are messages. I had some more messages, but I forgot them. They're gone. Okay, so shutting up.
I mean, the only thing I could add is that I want to convey the power of being in D.C. with national marches coming at us. Not only, I mean, I was talking before about the negative about always being pulled into national leadership if you are excited about teaching about bisexuality and organizing about it. And the positive is also that in 1979, when he was one of the organizers of that first march for lesbian and gay rights downtown in D.C., and in 1987, and in 1993, and in 2000, which was a bust, but still was interesting, which we should talk about, and in 2009, all those times, there were bisexuals coming from all over the world and the country and marching in our town, and taking over the metro, and taking over the streets. And in 87, we organized the National Bi Network from that contingent, and we didn't have any say and we weren't in the title of the march. In 93, we fought and fought and fought at this all-night hotel meeting in LA to get in the title of the march. And the the transgender contingent was fighting. And the transgender folks lost that year, even though we were supporting each other. And the actual title of the march in 93 was the National March on Washington for Lesbian, Gay, and Bi, Equal Rights and Liberation. That was the exact title. Bisexual was censored from the title because it was too sexual, as opposed to lesbian and gay, which aren't. And so we had to compromise, and we did have our first ever out bisexual leader speaking from the podium, even though she was the last speaker of the day, and they almost pulled the plug. It was Lonnie Kahumanu, my wonderful co-conspirator in San Francisco, and Matt's co-conspirator, and A. Billy's co-conspirator, too. And in 93, we also had a national conference celebrating bisexuality at American University the day before the march, and I did a speech there and invited my parents so they could see what 500 bisexuals look like. And that was cool because, you know, they were like, you know, yeah, that's what bisexuals, you know, we're people. But just to say that these are all, like, important national things that did impact on us locally. And then in 2000, B was and T were part of the tagline, and it was a march that was really compromised by a lot of corruption at the top and didn't have that much. Actually, John can speak to that if you want to. But 2009 was going to have more bi speak. Well, they were going to have some bi speakers. They ended up having Lady Gaga and some other bi speakers, and it has gotten better in some ways, but we got a lot farther to go, and that's why we're here, probably, just to give each other hope and inspiration. So
yeah, I'll talk a little bit about 2000 March. We were actually pretty organized in those days. BNDC, which was a local group from Binet USA, did Tuesday dinners just down the street. That was really the social community. Really, in the late 90s, 99 I think was when we all started this, was Bisexual Insurgents, which was really a political group. We did a lot for Celebrate Bisexuality at week, because that's what it was. I mean, there were events going on throughout that week of September 23rd, 99, 2000, less so in 2001, and then going down from there. What we did was to protest the Millennium March with our own march, Freaks Are Family March. And it was a coalition of bisexual insurgents, Radical Fairies. The DC Radical Fairies was actually a very open organization, which not that in other parts of the country, but it was in DC. And basically, our criticism of the march was not just the corruption, but the fact that so many of the issues that were important to us, general LGBT issues. I'll say at the march, it was the word AIDS wasn't used a whole lot. And that was work that was still really needed work. And we all felt at that time that the movement was really becoming more conservative, becoming less of a multi-issue social justice, a part of the multi-issue social justice world, and a more single issue. And really, you know, as those days came, you know, marriage became a really big issue, and a lot of things didn't get done. And I think we're just starting to recover from it. You know, that marriage is more and more the law of the land, and hopefully a couple more court decisions and a Supreme Court decision, and it should be pretty much the law of the land in this country, that all these issues that get so little work done on, and I think it's a part of the reason why nationally the bisexual community is rising back up again. And all these things that we haven't been able to get support for, and the issues that have been under the and underfunded are coming back up. You know, one of the things I saw when, you know, because the Fairness for All Marylanders Act, the trans-inclusive law in Maryland, it failed to get enough signatures to be on a ballot this year. Equality Maryland is looking to, like, have listening sessions, right? They had very strict issues for a number of years. That, you know, it was employment non-discrimination, marriage, and then because the Employment Non-Discrimination Act in Maryland was an exclusive law, and that was some of the national organizations coming into Maryland to make an inclusive law, an exclusive law, over 10 years ago. The trans bill had to be forwarded in itself. Now that those pieces of the agenda are done, they want to know, what are our issues? What do we need to be working on? You know, the race issues, the class issues, youth issues, health issues that aren't being addressed in the way that they should be. Hopefully our issues as bisexuals that are particular issues begin to get more play and come up in terms of general LGBT work. And that's kind of where I'm hoping. And, you know, like, I feel like we almost kind of missed a decade. We did a lot of support work through the 2000s. It's helped lift all boats. I think, you know, like, employment non-discrimination is in the states that have it. We have some protections.
But it's not federal yet.
It's not federal yet. And marriage in the states have it, and more and more states are putting it in the courts. Lifts all boats, but there's a lot of other issues that we need to be working on, and I feel like, you know, those issues have been underfunded for a long time, and hopefully that changes.
One of the things I just want to point out, that it does sometimes feel like you take two steps forward and one step back. For example, there was a great deal of activism and advocacy to get our movement to include lesbians, bisexuals, and transgenders. And, you know, and we hear people say LGBT, and now, you know, but I don't think they really think about what it means. They just say it, because if you ask, are there any bisexuals on your board? Are there any transgender people on your board? No, no. And when I was really becoming active, we used to talk about gender parity in terms of having women and men on the board, you know, in terms of parity. And I think each of us, you know, the reason I became involved with the African American community, because I recognized I had to deal with homophobia in the African American community, homophobia in the mainstream community, but I also had to deal with racism in the LGBT community. And it's fighting multiple forces. And at the time, it was the belief that the only way we could move forward was we had to be a single issue movement. And that movement had to be the gay movement. That was the principle of Frank Kameny and others like him and from that era. And then I came along and said, no, I can't afford to do that. And I don't think women can afford to do that. And many people can afford to do that. I have to be able to address issues of racism and classism, sexism, ageism. There are other issues that have to be addressed. And I think if you look at the progress we've made, the main reason we've made progress is not because we were out there by ourselves. It's because we've been able to form coalitions and partnerships with allies who have been able to support us. And now there's a move to go back to just say the gay community, the gay movement. And I think each of us have to correct folks when they do that and not permit that to happen. Like, say the word. What we call ourselves is important. And if we don't push for the community to really, I mean, sometimes instead of saying it, then acronyms, spell it out. I ain't boastful. You know, I still get people every now and then going, well, what does that stand for? You know, and it's like, oh, we use the acronym so much that we don't remember what it stands for. Or, you know, we can't assume that everybody knows what this acronym stands for. And we got to also, you know, identify bisexual folks. What happens when marriage equality is there and then bisexuals decide that they want to marry, probably shouldn't go there. It's coming. But I mean, it's a thought, you know? What if I did want to have pluralism in terms of marriage? I mean, one of the hesitation that my partner, I mean, we registered as domestic partners right away, but they have not gone to marriage just because that question has been before us. Like, well, what does this mean? If we really, but that's coming. And the other issue is, I frankly don't see marriage equity as number one issue in our community. When I look at issues of violence and the fact that people are still getting killed, domestic violence as well as violence bestowed upon us from the community, that to me is way scary. I mean, I applaud marriage equity. I'm sure Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Georgia will be the last on the company board, screaming and yelling. And by the way, on the 19th, there is a special forum about the Loving case for the miscegenation interracial marriage in Virginia. And there's a forum on the 19th. I don't have any more detail of it. I just read
we'll
it
tell him quickly. Help
them. I just read it quickly.
There's a documentary on Netflix as well.
But people should read that because I often talk about, there's a great deal of parallel in terms of marriage equity as it relates to art and the miscegenation law. And I love the fact that the Because Conference is in Minneapolis, because that was one of the few states that if you were in interracial marriage that you could live. Cold as hell, so of course you would love. I lived there, so I didn't know it was cold.
You know, we were talking before this, and there's one thing we wanted, there's one more story I want to tell, and then briefly, and then open it up. We were talking about today is the birthday of Josephine Baker, famous bisexual, who expatted to Paris and adopted lots of kids and was an incredible dancer and artist. So happy birthday, Josephine Baker.
And I sent an article out, and it was her son that said, by today's standards, she would be defined as bisexual. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. So.
And the last thing I was just thinking about saying is about depression. I had an incredible experience with A. Billy and 31 other bisexuals on September 23rd, Celebrate Bisexuality Day, which we did in D.C. at a retirement community in the evening. With an official D.C. celebration, but we also earlier that day went to the White House for the first ever roundtable on bisexuality to brief Obama administration officials off the record about new research about bisexuality. And it was depressing as hell. And people shut down, people like even us who were like trying to be academic and neutral about it, got so bummed working on the different topical areas that we were presenting to the feds on that it was hard for us to believe. And just today, the statistics are beginning to come out when you separate out bis from lesbians and gays. The statistics are coming to show that bisexual people suffer disproportionately even more than lesbian and gays in terms of depression, substance abuse, addiction, domestic violence, and suicide feelings, a lot of unemployment issues. And we need to have that research and to face it and to help other people face it and to do it with some kind of spirit of hope. That's all.
I'll just say that some of the pieces that we used in Center By's brochure come from Bisexual Health Awareness Month that the Bisexual Resource Center did, talking about some of our health issues, erasure and safe sex. And March was Bisexual Health Awareness Month, done by the DRC. And go to their site and look at the resources. There is just so much that we're still learning about ourselves.
The Bisexual Resource Center.
Yes.
In Boston.
Another study that came out from the Williams Institute, which is a place that UCLA, but they always always break us out and show statistics. There was a poverty study, and it showed in just about every demographic, race, class, socioeconomic status, et cetera, education, that bisexuals top the list in poverty. And you know, these are things that we have to acknowledge and do the work on. And you know, and that information is power. And that's how we have to move forward in this project.
Did that study include trend?
At the Williams Institute study, there were parts of it that did break out to those people, but they didn't break it out in all the demographics that they broke out you know,
there's a lot of other trans research that's being done. Yeah. Not Williams, I don't think.
They do some specific trans work, but
and a lot of trans people are bi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. So.
So I mean, not that.
Wow.
Go ahead.
That would be.
Go ahead.
I know some of the statistics for trans are pretty abysmal for unemployment, suicide,
and absolutely
to top that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I didn't mean, sorry, thank you. When I was saying that bis are the worst, trans are right up there. I was saying bis in comparison to lesbian and gays.
I think what the surprise probably is, and I know I'm a therapist, and reading the statistics surprised me, because I felt like we were in a better place. And then to see it on paper really surprised me. I was stunned. And
me too.
I was like, okay, so maybe school one does need to be done. So. Just have five privilege and just pick the good five. Right. Yeah. Yeah, so it was surprising because I knew the statistics on the trans community. I didn't realize the statistics were so bad.
Just wanted to interrupt real quick because we have a few people that came in after this was announced. This is being recorded for podcast.
At this time, the recorder was turned off, so group discussion could continue without fear of exposure unnecessarily. Thank you all for listening. The links will be available on the website. And everyone remember, you are not wrong, you are not broken, and you are not alone. You are a human being, and you are bisexual. Thank you. Bye. The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.